Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back. You're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 67, Momentary Reflections. Guys, thank you so much for letting me know how this show is impacting your life. And for those of you that have reached out to me and told me how you're paying it forward as well and really creating that ripple effect of positivity that really is the purpose of this show. So thank you so much. It really means the world, and I am truly grateful to each and every one of you. So guys, are you on Snapchat? Because let me tell you, that social media platform is crazy right now. So much fun. The filters, it's a lot of fun. So reach out to me if you haven't already. You can just search by searching out my name. It's just my first initial and my last name. So search T and R-E-C-H-E-R and we can connect on Snapchat. Also, I am launching a store focused around the positivity effect. And it's going to have some awesome t-shirts and some other cool products that'll be added along the way to keep you guys feeling positive and uplifted. So today we're joined again by Timothy Lawson. We had him on yesterday. He's a U.S. veteran. A professional podcaster. He's recorded over 300 episodes. Just amazing guy. His most recent project is called the One Too Many Project, that's centered around discussions of the veteran community and raising awareness around veteran suicide and prevention. And today, in today's episode, Timothy really got super raw with me, super transparent, and shared how there was a time in his life where he too had thought about taking his own life. And it was just really powerful to hear his testimonial and how he's, you know, still to this day, it's always going to be a struggle or a battle, but he's in a better place now. And there's certain things that he's worked and built into his life to protect himself from really coming to that point and never really getting too close to the edge ever again. So it was really, really powerful. And I am so grateful for him to be so transparent on the positivity effect. Timothy, thank you so much for that. And guys, I really think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. And definitely, if you haven't heard the first episode, please go back and listen to episode number 66 before you listen to this one. You could find Timothy at 1-2-manyproject.com. Help me welcome him now to the Positivity Effect. Hey, what's up, Timothy? Welcome back for day two on the Positivity Effect.
Good to be back, Tom.
Absolutely. And it was a pleasure for me to just sit and just to listen and to hear of your stories. For those that missed yesterday's episode, please go back and take a listen. It was just awesome to hear your testimonies of how the Marine Corps wasn't just, you know, how it was a profound effect, we know, by serving, by helping others in the world, but how it had an effect on your own life as well. And also how you came back and just sharing some of those personal stories of how you had to make a transition.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure being able to talk about that part of my life. I call myself a quote unquote professional veteran in a lot of ways that, you know, I've been out of the Marine Corps now for about 5 years, but it's still a very prominent part of my life, and it's one that I continue to learn about, and the veteran community continues to impress me. So it's a great opportunity to be able to represent them and speak on that experience.
And the One Too Many Project, the podcast, just the stories that have been shared of not only the veterans, but the families and the veteran suicides that have come. And you even shared your own testimony that was something that was on your mind and you had worked through that. And that was really powerful. And the stories are so powerful. But something I really love about your show, too, is that you have these momentary reflections. Where did that come about? When did you start doing that?
Yeah, so for the first, I want to say 8 or 9 or 10 weeks of the podcast, it was just stories. Every week was a story. But then I wanted to contribute more of my own thoughts and experiences, but I didn't want those thoughts and experiences to distract or take away from the stories. I gave my own little my two cents after a story would be told. So I'd enter the story, we would do the interview with the guest, and then afterwards I'd give my two cents about it, and that would be the show. But I had so much more to say, and I didn't want to say all that stuff, you know, after someone had just talked about their own experience. So I started Momentary Reflections. It was just like a quick, I was like, what am I going to call this? Momentary Reflections. Let's do it. And that's what, but it turned into a, you know, I write probably 300 to 400 word blog posts about my own feelings on suicide, my own experiences with depression and emotional health and suicide. I publish it as a post on the website. And then I also go back for the podcast listeners and I record a short pod. I just read it verbatim and it becomes a podcast. And it was a really great way for listeners to be reminded that I'm not just hosting these stories, but that I am a part of this community and that I am a part of this experience. And even though that my suicide attempt is long in the past, that when you're someone who is, that suffers or has suffered from suicide ideation and suicidal behavior, the feelings still come around. And whether they're serious or not, you know, we all get sad. Depression, whether it's chronic or not, is still something that people can experience, regardless of where they are in their life. And I wanted to share with everybody how I was dealing with that. And so, you know, I think probably one of my strongest momentary reflections was one, I think the two strongest have been the one where I admitted that I still contemplate suicide, where I get into how, even though I don't ever feel the urge to commit suicide. I never think about how I could. I still wake up in bad moods, and I still wonder. I still contemplate what would happen if I did. And you know, to remind people, this never really leaves your mind. You just you can deal with it better, or you know, you can be in a really good place and still just naturally wonder. You know.
The human mind has it's unbelievable the power that it can have over us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think the other one was one for Suicide Prevention Day a year ago. I think I wrote one saying that the suicide I'm trying to prevent the most is my own. And you know, saying that you know, the One Too Many project is benefiting me just as much as it's benefiting anybody who gets to be on the show or listen to it. And that while I'm here for everybody else, you know, I'm still keeping my own emotional health as a priority to everything that's going on. And those and a few others, you know, have really resonated with people. Because what's really nice about the momentary reflections, Tom, is the stories really resonate with veterans, right? You know, because you get a guy from the Navy who gets on there and talks about serving on a boat and have, you know, he talks about the setting and the experience and everything. And I think that veterans really resonate with those stories because it's a shared experience. But my audience is kind of split into veterans and non-veterans because non-veterans are still interested in, you know, like yourself, they have friends and family that are in the service. They want to know what they can do to help prevent this. And the momentary reflections, Tom, I think really resonate with them because I do use my military service sort of as context occasionally, but sometimes I can go through a whole blog post and not mention it once because I'm really just talking about my own emotional health. And I've had my friends who aren't veterans, those are the ones that they always seem to give me feedback on because I think those are the ones that feel like it's their experience as well. That's their shared experience is you know, a weekend of just feeling depressed and what to do about it, or recognizing that you're not doing well and reaching out to somebody. And so I think that's been one of the biggest values that the momentary reflections has brought.
As you began to speak this past thought that you were just putting together, I was thinking about, okay, I was gonna say, Tim, what are some ways that even if somebody that's listening is not in the military and they have struggles, you know, but have mental health struggles that they're trying to work through, emotions that are so powerful right now, what are some practical ways that, you know, you think that they can start to make a shift? And it just kind of made sense as you continued to speak, is that this project, it's impacting other people's lives, but it comes back to you. It's almost a form of journaling. It's a form of prayer.
Yeah,
because you're sharing your own thoughts down to help other people connect and help relate to those emotions. But it's almost like almost a form of therapy as well. And I kind of feel the same way about my own podcast. Is I connect with somebody like yourself, Tim, or anybody that I have on this show, and anytime I'm done with this call, you know, when I'm done, when we hang up this call and I walk away, there's just something, there's a change that happens inside of me. Where I feel so much more connected with life, with people, with humans, you know, with getting away from just all the own struggles and the craziness in my own head, because I'm not perfect. You know, none of us are perfect. So it was interesting to hear that as you kind of walk through that how this project has helped so many people, but at the end of the day, it's really making a huge impact on your own life.
Yeah, it's you know, and to sort of answer the question that you mentioned having earlier on, like, what can you do? You know, my message has come down to empathy, purpose, and mentorship. Those are the three key factors those are three themes that I've seen and heard from everybody, and most definitely veterans, but everybody sort of touches on these three things as what keeps them alive and what has gotten them away from the ledge. You know, empathy, obviously, just having someone empathize with you, someone who cares. And it doesn't even have to be someone who cares about your problems. It can be someone who just genuinely cares. You know, and I think that that's something that gets lost in suicide prevention, because so often, Tom, the assumption is that if I know that you're experiencing suicidal behavior, that's what I should be focusing on when I talk to you, is, are you okay? How are things in that part of your life? But in reality, if I came to you and I'm like, Tom, how's the podcast going? That's just as beneficial, because I'm showing genuine interest in your life.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's go out for a sandwich or a drink. Let's just go hang out for an hour and just be grateful that your presence is there and that we're spending time together.
Absolutely. Purpose is huge. This was probably the biggest thing in the veteran community. Veterans lose that sense of purpose when they leave the military, and that's a huge driver of suicidal behavior. And then I've heard just so many simple stories of, like, they find their right career and all of a sudden the suicide ideation vanishes. And being able to help a veteran find purpose, whether it's professionally or personally, it's huge, you know. And I found that with podcasting, I found that with my journalism. I know people who have found that simply by getting just the right promotion or being more involved with their family. It's amazing. And then the third one is mentorship. And this goes to every facet of life, because every good business owner will tell you that they had a mentor at some point in their life. And some of the best businessmen will say, you know, I have so-and-so as a mentor, and that's who I – and just being able to get guidance and feedback is so refreshing, and being able to have someone that you trust, because it's vulnerable to say, here's who I am and what I'm doing. Can you give me feedback on? That's a vulnerable experience. And so there's a sense of trust, and there's a sense of comfort that comes with that. And being able to go through that experience of mentorship is really beneficial as well.
The last time that we connected, you were telling me about one of your youth pastors and how they were such a great mentor to you. Yep. And just the conversations that you would have. So if you could share a little bit about that, just, you know, because hearing somebody else talk about their mentor, it opens people's minds, because sometimes they feel that there's nobody there for them, you know, and there could be somebody right around the corner waiting to help them.
Yeah, I was really, you know, I was really, I had the opportunity to have a natural mentor. You know, when you're in a youth group with like a local church or something, the youth pastor, I think, sort of naturally takes on the role of mentor, and that makes that part easier than trying to like establish one with, outside of that setting. And you know, he was one of the first people that really got a glimpse into my emotional problems. Him and another one of the leaders of the young men's group were some of the first people that I admitted suicide ideation to. And what was amazing is, you know, we would go out to lunch and we would just talk normally. You know, it wasn't about my problems. He may at some point ask me how I'm doing, you know, to get a little bit of an update, but it was never the first thing. It was never the point of the conversation. It was never the focus. And that really helped to have someone who was genuinely interested in my life, to be involved and interested. It really helped with establishing that mentorship, because then once that connection is established, you know, I'm experiencing empathy, which is huge, and he sort of reminding me of a personal purpose that I may have with encouraging the other parts of my life. So all of this is sort of naturally happening, and I have this person that I can look up to and that I can ask for. You know, I asked him plenty of times for advice and feedback and stuff like that, and that, you know, whether we take that advice or not, hearing someone else's perspective on our lives is powerful as well. And so getting those opportunities to talk with him and having him treat it so well was probably a lifesaver, to be honest with me, with you, at that point in my life.
And would you say too, like, now that experience that you had and that impact that that person made in your life, if we go back now to talk about the One Too Many project, if somebody reaches out to you and they tell you about how, you know, this project, this is impacting their life, you're that much more ready and open to connect with them and to step into that role of a mentor for them. And I'm sure you find yourself, the more and more you do these things with broadcasting and you're sharing your story and you're connecting, people are reaching out to you because they relate to your story. And I'm sure you've been stepping, you know, into that role of mentor, and it makes it that much easier when there was somebody there for you that stepped into your life.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because just you know, I was traveling earlier this year and I was visiting a friend of mine, and we were just having normal conversations, catching up with each other. We've been good friends for the better part of a decade now, and all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about something, and as I get up to go to the bathroom, I hear him say something along the lines of, because I haven't been in the best place mentally lately. And I took note of it, and I came back, we went back out to the car to leave the place we were at, and I was like, so you want to, you know, you haven't been in the best place mentally, you want to tell me what's going on? And he was like, yeah, you know, I figured you're someone I can talk to about this. And that comes from how open I've been on, you know, not only through the project, but because of the project, I've been very open about it over social media. I sort of remind people every few months that I am a suicide attempt survivor and that I'm available and that this is something I understand. I've given a TED talk on suicide prevention, and all of my friends and family members have seen this stuff. And I've had a handful of friends sort of just let their guard down and tell me that they have been in a rough spot. And I remind them, whether they admit to suicidation or not, I remind them that's normal. All of us that get to this point at least think about it. And you don't have to be alone in experiencing this, because you already – like, I'm telling you, I've been there, and I – already know, nothing you could say would surprise me on what you've been experiencing or what you've been thinking. And I think being that raw about it and being that straightforward about it, and almost making it seem, this sounds so weird, but making it seem like you're already more experienced at what they're experiencing, somehow makes it more comfortable for them to open up, because one thing we hate in these conversations is to feel like that someone else isn't going to understand. And the last thing you want is to not be understood when you're talking about suicide and depression and emotional health. And so to be really straightforward and saying, look, I've been there and I've gone through, I've exercised these thoughts so many times that there's nothing you could say that would surprise me right now. And it becomes a normal conversation, which is sort of where suicide prevention culture as a whole really wants to get to, but it's extremely difficult. But if you can get to the point where it's a normal conversation, to where talking about suicide ideation is similar to talking about another problem in your life, then we can become much more connected as human beings, and we can help each other in so many different ways, and we could actually prevent the suicidal behavior that we're hoping to prevent.
Yeah, it sounds, you know, there's not this like person that you feel is just kind of there dissecting what you're going through emotionally. It's more of that conversation, because you've both been through the thoughts and the thought process, and it's so much easier, because the empathy can flow much easier, and guards can be let down that much easier.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
So, Tim, we're at the end of today's episode, but I want to give you this opportunity. I always have my guests do this. It's just because I really appreciate, you know, you spending some time with me, coming on the show, and you've kind of put it together in different ways. You kind of summarized it over these last 2 days, but I just want to ask you, if you were suddenly, you know, at the end of your life and everybody, your family was around you, and you were reflecting on all that you have been through, all that you have created, all that you have done, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
Oh man, what kind of impact will I be remembered for? You know, I really hope when it comes to my influence on other people's lives that I have helped or inspired people to become more grateful and more empowered. And I know it's such a buzzword when you talk about emotional health, but when you feel like you're in control of your own being, it's really comfortable and it's really empowering. And I really hope that I've reminded people that just that doing things is a lot of fun. Me and my lady friend have a motto of go anywhere, do anything. Of course, there's some limitations to that, but you know, we like to do things. The reason why I'm so successful in the things that I've gotten to do, and the reason why I've gotten so many opportunities, is because I just took initiative on doing something. I did not wait for someone else's permission to do any of it. You know, I started, as I told you, Tom, before we hit record, that I am covering the local women's professional soccer team, and I did that with no one else. Permission. I simply applied for media credentials. I got them, and now I'm interviewing World Cup champions.
I love that. That is awesome.
and I've had people like at school be like, "Oh, how'd you get that? How'd you get that access?" I asked, you know. Or even better, James Altucher, I know, is a famous name in the podcasting world and the self help world right now. About a year ago, he was on the One Too Many podcast to talk about his own suicidal ideation. And I've had people were like, how did you get James Altucher? I asked, you know, like I just tried, because even if he sent me an email saying, no, F you, Tim, I'd be like, oh, well, that sucks, but on to the next, you know. And all of that to answer your question, what I want to be, what impact I want, like, inspire people to just act and to do things and to be really excited and proud about those things.
If we just cut everything out and just had those last 2 minutes released, that you would change so many lives. That was such a powerful statement.
Thank you,
Tim. Thank you for sharing that. And guys, check them out. Head over to One Too Many Project, and that's one, the number two, manyproject.com. And Tim, what is the best way for people to reach out to you today if they want to connect?
Probably email Lawson@LawsonEntertainment.com. I'm not great at checking it. I check my email once every day or two. But it's probably the best place to to get a hold of me. And I'm always open to the ideas of collaborations or giving insight where I can.
Excellent. Tim, thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, I get so much myself out of this, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. When we really got into that part of talking about purpose and why you do things, it was just so profound. Like I just thought like we were in this like Zen state, and you were really delivering. It was really awesome to hear that. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to share my feelings and what I've been up to.
Absolutely. And we'll talk soon. Take care.
See ya.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.